Veterans Day is tomorrow. And I think it's one of the most honorable days of the year. None of us would be here. We've all heard this said before, but it's worthy of saying again. None of us would be here if it were not for the people that gave their life. Not necessarily gave their life in service, gave their physically, but whether they did physically give their life or they gave years of their life in service, that enables us to be here and to do what we are doing this morning. So I'm going to ask any men or ladies that have served in the United States military in any branch of service, I want you to stand to your feet this morning for me. Can you? Can you? Look at this. Wow. Woo, look at this. Look around. Give all these fellas a hand. Yes. Yes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. You can be seated. Yeah, and Chase is out in Children's Church. And, so that was 9, I think. So, wow, that's great. Thank you so much, fellas. I don't think I saw any ladies standing, but thank you, fellas, for serving this country. And as you serve this country, you most definitely were serving us. Thank you so much. We wouldn't be here without men like you. And, I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I appreciate you so much. Well, this morning, this has been an eventful week in America. And we're going to touch on that just a little bit. But I want us to go to the book of Proverbs and read one scripture this morning. Proverbs chapter 14. In Proverbs chapter 14, and some of the wisdom of Solomon here. Solomon penned, and you can read this in various versions of Scripture, English versions, of course, because I can't read any other language, but various versions of Scripture, but I chose to use the NIV, which is probably the most commonly read version of Scripture now. But we find the words of Solomon says, righteous exalts a nation. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin condemns any people. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin condemns any people. Now, those that are younger in the room may not remember this so much. But there used to buy comic books. That's back before there were iPads. Any of y'all ever buy comic books? A few of y'all. There were comic books. Comic books were what we used instead of iPads and iPhones, and we had all the technology we have now. Actually, you can still buy comic books. Comic books is a big business in collectibles. There was one comic book that was called The Lone Ranger. Then there was a TV show way back in ancient days, like when John was a little boy. And it was The Lone Ranger TV show and The Lone Ranger sidekick, Tonto. Now, Ultimately, everything comes from the Lord. We know that. The Bible tells us that. But Sarah and I, we had to be at the house some last couple of weeks, more than usual. So we actually watched a couple movies on TV in the last few weeks. Well, she picked one or two of them, and I picked, let me tell you, the one I picked, I still don't know what it was about. But she watched the whole thing with me. I kept saying, you can find something else to watch if you want to. You know, it was free on Amazon Prime. We didn't pay anything for it. But then I did a paid one. $2.99. That's splurging for this old boy. $2.99 on Google TV. And we found a movie that was from the 90s, I think. Early 2000s. It was The Lone Ranger. Didn't y'all ever watch the Lone Ranger movie? It was pretty good. I liked it. Different take on the Lone Ranger than I always, you know, thought of him as. And of course, all this is fictional anyway. But we watched Lone Ranger the movie. I like the shoot 'em up movies. Cowboy movies. I still like that. The Lone Ranger. The Lone Ranger, this fictional character, he was famous for a few things. One was his white horse, Silver, And the other was his sidekick, Tonto. But then the Lone Ranger also had a chrome-plated 45 revolver. And in that 45 revolver, it was, if you would, loaded or armed with silver bullets. Any of y'all remember that? Yeah? Silver bullets. Mm-hmm. The most famous silver bullet in the world is the silver bullet of the Lone Ranger, 45 caliber. What was so special about the silver bullet? I mean, it was the trademark ammo, but it was almost magical in its ability. The silver bullet never killed anybody, but it shot many guns out of the enemy's hand. The silver bullet could bounce around and ricochet off of different things and end up in the weirdest places. The silver bullet was very, very, very strange. The silver bullet also in the concept of who the Lone Ranger was, the silver bullet and the horse that was named Silver represented the purity of the Lone Ranger's heart. The Lone Ranger sort of wanted good for everybody. And I don't know if you ever paid attention to this in the stories, whether you read comic books or watched that latter movie or watched that old TV series. Everywhere the Lone Ranger went, every time he resolved a circumstance, he left a silver bullet behind, saying that justice had been served and served properly. Because the Lone Ranger was all about, he wasn't about revenge, he was about justice. Now, this week, we have no doubt, I stray away from getting deep politically, and I'm going to do so this morning, quite frankly. But we have just came off of what is, without a shadow of the doubt, one of the most historical elections that the United States of America has ever known. It may quite possibly be the most rememberable election that the United States has ever known. Over the last couple of decades, every single one of us, unless you're very young in this room, we have witnessed a tremendous shift in our culture as Americans. The moral values of our society have weakened. And that makes me think of the scripture that Jesus gave, the explanation to be given later, is while men slept, the enemy came in unaware and sowed tares, or he sowed thistles, if you would, among the wheat. Then later, Jesus goes on to address that, and he said, you can't pull up the wheat because pull up the tare or the thistle, because if you pull up the thistle, then you're going to pull up the wheat with it. So we have a situation in America now that there's thistles among the wheat. And it's not all the devil's fault. Part of it's our fault. Maybe the majority of it's our fault. And who's our? Who's us? Us is the church. Us is the church. So, no matter whether you're Christian or non-Christian, we know from this past Tuesday that a conservative voice has now reverberated across America, and the majority of us have hope of a turnaround for our great country. Okay? It seems as everything has finally come into alignment, doesn't it? At least after these past several years. Well, I want to preach to you with the thought in mind this morning that there is no silver bullet. The Lone Ranger may have had them, but remember, he's a fictional character. There are some We can draw and use it as an illustration from the silver bullet. It never took anybody's life, yet it served to prove justice or to bring justice. But I want you to know that I was personally, from my personal standpoint, I was well pleased with Tuesday's results. I was very proud of West Virginia, even though I live in Virginia. I was very proud of West Virginia. But I also must realize that President-elect Donald J. Trump, the House of Representatives, and the Senate cannot really fix this country. Now, don't misunderstand me. I believe many prayers have been answered. The conservative voice, the Christian voice has been heard, and I believe people stepped up, and I believe most of that or a lot of that is accredited prayer. But I am of the notion that there's something still missing in what we need as a nation. I was watching one newscast on Tuesday night, and that newscast, the news anchor herself and some other people, which I really don't even know who they were, political analysts and what have you, they kept talking about as the election night was unfolding, and that I was actually quite surprised, because the one newscaster said, this may be more than a political event. She said, this may be a spiritual event for a spiritual awakening in America. And I thought, you go, girl. You know, now Sarah, she was up. She was going up. She was going, come on, Georgia. Come on, Georgia. Come on, Georgia. She was. I tried to video her, but I couldn't get her to stand still long enough to get my camera going. Yeah. But the reality of it is, all of the political change that we are seeing unfolding, everything that's happening in our life can still not accomplish what America needs. What America needs is not going to begin in Washington, D.C. What America needs is going to begin with congregations. It doesn't necessarily have to be a congregation, but that puts it in a better frame of mind for us. What America needs is going to have to happen in congregations all across America. It's going to have to happen in the church. Because while men slept, that was us. While men slept. The Word of God teaches the responsibilities of the church and to government and vice versa. What the church should mean to the government, what the government should mean to the church. So there's lots of finger pointing going on. One person can point a finger here, another can point a finger there, and everybody's laying blame on somebody else. And we've seen that develop over the past several years more than ever. More division than ever. The Bible says that a house divided against itself cannot stand. Same guy that penned that verse of scripture that we read said that. And most of us knows, in this room this morning, most of us know everybody, at least in our own concept, we know who needs to be hired and who needs to be fired. Okay? And there's names running through your heads right now of who needs to be hired and who should be fired. Okay? But here's the deal. We must consider and take responsibility on us, ourselves as a church. If we want to get to the core of fixing our nation, if we want to get to the core of fixing the society that we live in, the first person that we need to look at is not starting pointing fingers and naming the name of a politician or a political party or anything like that. The first person that we need to look at, if you have a problem doing so at your home, let me know, and in every restroom in this building, there are big mirrors. And you can go and you can look at the person that you need to point the first finger to. So do I. Our country is nothing more than a product of who we are. Hello? There's a lot of echo in this room this morning. Our country is nothing more than a product of who we are. We as the church have a responsibility, and that responsibility should exceed our political convictions. I had signs in my yard. Still have signs in my yard. Okay? Got stickers on my car. And that's okay. That's good and all. But our spiritual responsibility should exceed our political conviction. You see, too often, what I hear expressed in convictions, in moral convictions and cultural and in society, I hear people expressing convictions and through all of this election process, but then I fail to see the spiritual vitality of all of that. Mm-hmm. Okay? So we can vote a straight conservative ticket, and we can still lack in our relationship with God. Hello? We can vote a straight red ticket and still have spiritual issues in our own life. So we, the church, must be well aware of our role in society. Well, you mean, what is my role in society, preacher? For me, it's being a preacher. For Heath, it's being a caterpillar mechanic. For Brennan, it's being maintenance, can do anything that needs to be done type of guy. Jason, car detailer. Scott's being retired. What is my role? What is our role in society as Christians? What is our role in society as the church? Well, I want you to know this is what the Bible says. The Bible says that our role in society is to be salt and light. In fact, the Bible says, you are the salt of the earth. You see, in being the salt of the earth, it's the responsibility of the church, because we are in Christ Jesus. It is our responsibility to be the preservative or the keeping power of the earth. God blessed us. When Jesus ascended back into heaven, He said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless, but I'm going to send you another comforter. That is the Holy Ghost, and He will dwell in you. Because we are infused with the power of the Holy Spirit, we are called and appointed to be keepers of the earth. You said, man, that's pretty heavy. No, it's not. Because in the beginning, God created Adam. And Adam's responsibility was to be keeper of the garden, of the earth, if you would. We have the responsibility to be salt in the earth, to be the preservative power of the earth. Let me tell you right now, if it wasn't for the church praying, we would be in a whole lot worse mess than we're already in. But if we were praying more than we have been praying, I don't think we would be where we're at either. So understand this, we are the salt of the earth. We are the keepers of the earth. He says we're not only salt, but He says that we're also light. Because He said we're the light of the world. We all know what light does. Every single one of us. That you know, some of you wait on that little light to come on your dash of your car to tell you to put some oil in it. Well, most of the time by then it's too late, okay? You know, we learn a lot of things by our, just the other day, my wife was, she's been driving some lately, and I just been over there riding, and she said, this is the strangest thing. She said, you can adjust this makeup mirror, and you can see what's behind you. No, she didn't say that. She didn't say that. I'm picking at her this morning. Let's pick on Sarah Day. But the reality of it is, we're the light of the world. What a light illuminates. A light illuminates. Do you realize without the church that this world is a dark, dark place? Sure, the sun may come, and the sun doesn't really come up. We revolve around the sun. But the sun reappears. We count on it reappearing every day and so forth. And the warmth of the sun and the light from the sun make it daylight. And we all know we're in this miserable time frame that we're in now. And we, it gets 4 o'clock and then 4:30 and then all of a sudden it's dark 30. Yeah. But I read something the other day about somewhere in Alaska or somewhere that the sun, after the sun went down on that particular day, that they won't see it again till way up in the spring of the year. They won't even have sun. But the reality of it is, we are the light of the world. The church is called to illuminate the world. But if you read the scripture, and the scripture actually says, you know, don't let your light be hid under a bushel or under a basket. Y'all remember that little song? This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. We are called to be a light in a dark world. Look at your neighbor and say, you are the bright spot in the world today. So our role is to illuminate the world. So if we fail in intercession, salt of the earth, the preservative, and we fail in witnessing or evangelism, lighting the world, then we are not doing what God intends for us and what He has called for us to do as the church. There is more to do as a Christian than get to heaven. Oh. Hello.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
It's echoing. There is more for us to do as Christians than get to heaven. We are called to be salt and light. There is no silver bullet in Washington D.C. or in the hands of any politician. The church is needed in America right now. The church is needed in the world right now. And we are the church. Secondly, we must never forget that we occupy a sin-cursed world. You see, there was no war, bickering, debating in creation. It wasn't there. Before the fall of Adam, none of the things that we know. The roses, listen, before Adam fell, dogs didn't bite, rose bushes had no thorns, and the bees didn't even sting. If that helps put it in perspective to you. Everything was perfect until sin entered the world. Sin messed up everything. Okay? So, we are a church. We're salt and we're light. But we're a church that lives and occupies a sin-cursed territory. It's just the way it is. Okay? Somebody was talking yesterday about boundaries. I think it was yesterday. Or was it this morning in life groups? I don't remember when it was. After they put me to sleep a couple weeks ago, I can't remember if I was going up or going down the steps, you know. But the reality of it is that we do live in a sin-cursed world. There is not a lot that we can do about that. In fact, there's nothing we can do about that. It's just part of where we are at until the time comes that Jesus takes rule and reign over this earth once again. So in the meantime, we are called to be salt and light. And we have to remember and we have to recall our place and the role that we fulfill in the world, but in particular, I'm preaching about our nation. The church, when we go back to that verse of scripture that we read in text, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin condemns any people. When we go back to that verse of scripture, and realizing that President-elect Trump, Congress does not have a silver bullet. There is no horse that is out back ready to jump, for somebody to jump on and ride off into the sunset. I want you to understand the world and the United States of America still needs the church to fulfill her role. First thing I want you to remember is righteousness is the exaltation of a nation. That's what Solomon said. Righteousness and liberty are interwoven. There is no true liberty without true righteousness. I want you to understand that. I want you to realize that this nation, putting God We Trust on money and all the other places that it's inscribed on many of the memorials and statues, and some of them that have even been taken down, it was inscribed there for a reason. The laws and the governance of this country, that they exist, and they were, as at least in their origin, they were there because they were based on morality and social ethics. But all of that goes back to the Word of God. For all morality, even in unchristian nations, morality still finds its way back to the Word of God. God established that. He created that. So it's righteousness exalts a nation. Pastor Adrian Rogers, one of my favorite preachers of all time, says righteousness is a living responsibility under God. It's a responsibility. Righteousness is assuming our God-giving responsibilities first and foremost as citizens of heaven, and then secondarily to our country. If we will put, I can't help but think about this scripture. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all the other things will be added to us. So as far as a nation, it's still incomplete. It's still not going to be perfect. There's going to be problems. There's going to be difficulties. There's going to be things to occur. There's going to be something that's not going to go exactly right. And let me reassure you this, the church has a responsibility to pray. The secondary part of our role in the nation is our character as a nation is directly correlated with our liberty. And let me explain this. If we lose our character, we have lost our righteousness. Sadly, I have to report to you, the United States of America is now considered a post-Christian nation. That means there's more non-Christians than there are Christians. Okay? But don't let that worry you. And don't let that make you feel defeated, because little as much if God is in it. And God can take a minority and overwhelm a majority. And God is still in control. So don't let that concern you. But here's the thing about it. We emphasize missions so much. And last week was our Global Outreach Sunday, which went very well, by the way. Thank you so much. We'll be releasing to you the details on that in the first week of December. But listen to me when I say to you this morning. There is a missions field that lies right around here. There is a missions field right here in Mercer County, West Virginia. There's a missions field in Raleigh County. There's a missions field in McDowell County, Tazewell County, Bland County, Wythe County, wherever you want to go. There is a missions field right here in America. We are right smack dab. We are the belt buckle in the middle of the Bible Belt. If you don't understand the need of missions in this country, you haven't traveled very far away from this area. But there is a great need of the Word of God going forth. There is a great need of prayer to be exercised, for intercession to be given for this great country we live in. This country needs God, whether you realize that or not. And that is more important than who did or did not get elected. I told you I loved Adrian Rogers. He went on to say this: people who cannot live responsibly from within will be governed from without. You know what? What he's saying there is this. Do you realize the reason we have so much government involvement in our life is because we have left the principles of God's Word. We have left our principles of morality. We have, as a nation, we have left our principles of common sense, even, if you would. And because we have left God, then we are going to require more government. And that is exactly what Solomon was speaking about in the verse of scripture we read. The further we go from God, the more we're going to need to get government involved. Let me tell you this. I don't want a political party of any kind. I don't want government to rule and reign over my life. I need Jesus to rule and reign over my life. I need Jesus to rule and reign over my country. I need Him to fix it. If there is a silver bullet, it's going to be found in Jesus Christ. So, we must live out the gospel in this great land that we live in. We must live out Jesus Christ in this nation. Paul declared it this way in one of his letters. He said, "You are living epistles known of all men." Y'all heard that old saying. You know, I might be the only Bible a sinner may read. You know, let me tell you something. There's people right here in this county that don't have a Bible. There's people right here in this county that may have a Bible, but they've never read a page out of it. And so there's a little bit of truth, maybe a whole lot of truth in that statement, that you and I may be the only Bible that our neighbors ever see. But let me tell you something. What kind of reading are we giving them? That's my question to you today. Are we giving them some pretty good reading? Can they watch our... You know, I like it, that old, it's corny and it's old, but I like that old saying, if you got arrested today for being a Christian, would there be enough conviction, enough evidence to convict you when you get to court? Hello? Have you told somebody about Jesus lately? Have you prayed for your nation lately? Listen, I'm not talking about going and burning abortion clinics down or anything like that, but have you stood for God in your nation lately? I was listening to a Veterans Day program yesterday and on the radio, and at Veterans Day program, it was a man that was a Green Beret, and he is talking about how that going, he was even in Vietnam, and I know we have some Vietnam veterans here today, and he was talking about how he was so proud to have gone and served, because even though they were in the jungles of Vietnam, he said, we were there to serve, to protect the future liberties of our nation, because we realize how easily they could slip away. He said, and I'm not embarrassed to say that I went and served. He said, and I never considered it a problem to go and serve this nation. But listen to me, it's more than just this nation that I'm talking about this morning. It's the kingdom of God. And we are living epistles read by all men. What kind of story are you giving them? What kind of story am I giving them? If we're arrested for being a Christian today, is there enough evidence to convict us in court? Lastly, Solomon said, he said, sin is the condemnation of a nation in the text we read. Sin is the condemnation of a nation. The purpose of government has never been intended to be our source of survival. That's never been the intention. There is government in this book right here. Okay? But it was never intended to be the source of meeting our needs. Government originated to protect people from tyranny and punishment of evildoers. The erosion of character and the abounding presence of sin in the United States of America has led us down a path of perversion into very close, if not already there, being simply a perverted nation. We have become dependent upon our government to provide for us in every way. Therefore, we have given them control over us. And I'm not soliciting a civil uprising. That's not what I'm here about this morning. But what I'm saying to us is this morning, we have allowed the government to take God's rightful place in our lives because we have surrendered it. We've got to get back to praying, church. We've got to get back to putting Jesus first in our lives. Jesus the priority in my life. Jesus is the source of everything in my life. Jesus is everything I need. No, I'm not saying, the scripture teaches us to give honor to those who are leading us. It teaches us to be good citizens. I'm not calling for a civil uprising. That's not what I'm talking about at all. But I'm talking about setting our priorities in the right order. And listen, I'm not worshiping whoever's in Washington, D.C. I'm not worshiping who's ever up in Morgantown or in Richmond. But I'm worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus is my provision and He is my God. I need Him. And we need Him as a nation. So sin, Solomon said, is the condemnation of a nation. So it's all the sinner's fault, right? All the sinner's fault. Unbelievers. Not necessarily. For I read this. And this has been my scripture this entire year. I read this scripture. And this scripture says it pretty good. This scripture says, if my people, that means believers. I realize in the day it was written, he was talking to the Jews, but the believer is the semblance of the Jews. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. In those lines, I find these four critical points. The first point is, God is speaking to Israel. That is the current born-again church, if you would. The second thing is, God calls the church to humility. The third thing is, he calls the church to have a passion to have the mind of Christ. I believe there's a lot of Christians today that don't have the mind of Christ. I'm not being critical of anybody. Sometimes I struggle. Sometimes I can get off focus. I can let circumstances grab my attention but he's calling us to have the mind of Christ. And fourthly, he calls for the work of repentance. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. You see, it is then that God comes to our rescue. The silver bullet. The silver bullet. The silver bullet is getting a hold of God, people. The silver bullet is getting a hold of Jesus. One more time. Well, I've tried, preacher, to make everybody in my neighborhood love Jesus. Well, you can't make them, okay? The key is that you love Jesus. With all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. Let me tell you, I think it was what, somebody may have to help me here. I think it was 71 million votes cast for Trump. What was it? 71? Somebody help me. 74? You can't tell me if there was 74. You can't tell me if every one of them was born again Christians interceding, praying, evangelizing, reaching the lost. You can't tell me that we would be where we're at right now as a nation. We did a good thing by casting our vote. But we need to do more than cast a vote. We need to seek the face of God. My wife said this a long time ago, and I see a few other people. I assume it was original with her, but if it wasn't, that's okay. Some other people stole it, but you have my permission to steal. We're too busy seeking the hand of God and not seeking the face of God. When we seek the hand of God, it's about all the things we need. But when we seek the face of God, we're seeking Him for what He wants, for what He desires, and what He wants to be done in our nation. So if there's going to be awakening in America, I want to tell you what I do believe. I don't claim to be a prophet, don't even claim to be the son of a prophet or the grandson of a prophet. But I'll tell you what I do believe. I believe the stage is set. If America is going to have an awakening, I believe the stage is set right now. The stage is set for us to have an awakening. The stars are in alignment. All the ducks are in a row. But I have news for you again. Donald Trump doesn't have the silver bullet. The church has the silver bullet. The church has the power and the authority that none of the three branches of government has. And that's getting a hold of God. If an awakening comes to America, it will have to come through the church. It's not going to come through government. If you're worried about your grandkids and your great-grandkids, or maybe your kids, what it's going to be like for them in the years to come, let me tell you something. You better be praying. You need to be seeking the face of God. Quite frankly, that's the way God's designed revival to happen. Ever awakening has come as a result of people seeking the face of God. Awakening is exactly what it is. It's the awakening out of the sleepiness, the slumbering, and the shallowness that we have found ourselves in. It's casting off our complacency and taking on works of repentance. I got news for you. I don't think it's too late for America. I don't think it's over until it's over. We may be called post-Christian, but I believe one good revival, one great awakening, can turn every bit of that all around one more time. But we can't expect the ungodly and the sinner to have an awakening. The awakening must happen in the church, people. It must happen with us. We must once again be saved and sanctified and full of the Holy Ghost and far, as they used to say. We must once again be about winning the lost to Jesus Christ. We must once again about hitting on our prayer knees. And we must once again learn the value of fasting and intercession. The church is a sleeping giant, but it is a prime time for us to awake right now with all that's unfolded this week. And I believe that the church can make more difference than you ever dreamed DJT could ever make. If we will surrender ourselves to the Lord in revival. I believe if we will do those things, if we will turn in humility and we will have a mind of Christ and we will pursue a work of repentance, if my people who are called by name, will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I believe the word of God. Then I will hear from heaven. And we will see the complexion of America begin to turn. We will see once again one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I believe that. Church, we have the silver bullet. Amen. We have the silver. Jonathan, did you change that slide for me? You did good. Thank you. I got too caught up in what I was doing. They do a good job upstairs. But listen. What price would you pay to see your nation turn around? Let me tell you something. I'm not ashamed to admit it, and like I say, I usually don't get into all this. I've been to three MAGA rallies. He said the other night there wouldn't be any more of them. I went to one in Salem, but I had some health restrictions that kept me from going. I've been to three of them MAGA rallies. Got there before daylight. Stood in line. People were falling out all around us. They were of dehydration, and the Roanoke City was giving out water, and their police, they had rescue squad come picking up people right and left. No exaggeration. We stood there all day long. I'm not ashamed to say that I did that. But would I stand in the parching heat, suffering from dehydration, people falling out all around me, would I stand in that to get for 12, 14 hours to get a hold of Jesus? Would I be willing to do that? You see, we put our hope in man. We put our hope in government. But there is one greater. Would you stand with me, please? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want to ask you a question. If you're not saved in this room this morning, then your hope is in something other than God. If you're in this room this morning and you're unsaved, or if you've backslidden, you've gone back on God, I want you to slip your hand up real quickly because I want to pray for you, and I'm willing, if you're willing, to pray with you. But if you're in this room this morning, you need to be saved. Would you reach your hand up real high for me? Say, Pastor, pray for me. Thank you. Are there others in this room that says, Pastor, I need to rededicate my life? Any more? Any others? Thank you for all those hands that have went up. And again, I offer the invitation. I'd love to pray with you, those of you that lifted your hand. But this is why, are we willing to rededicate and recommit ourselves? Now, you know, as Christians, sometimes we're hesitant to say these things because we think if it said, I need to rededicate myself to the Lord, everybody thinks you've done backslid, okay? And you've been doing all the stuff you shouldn't been doing and so forth and so on. But listen, every single one of us in this room, I dare say, need to rededicate ourselves to the Lord. Every single one of us. So Some of you ain't been praying. Some of you ain't fasted in 10 years. Some of you have never opened the pages of a Bible. Some of you never, hardly ever talk to Jesus unless something bad's going on happening. Listen, we need to rededicate ourselves, church. The time is right. The church has the silver bullet. We could be what saves the nation. So I want us to pray right now. A prayer of rededication. I want you to rededicate yourself to the Lord right now. Can you join me? Can you join me? Just pray this prayer along with me this morning. Jesus, I admit I need to recommit myself. I've got off base. I've lost my focus. I've placed my hope in other things. I need to come back to you. I still love you. You're still my Savior. But I want you to bring my life back into alignment with you. I realize that I am important. I am salt and I am light. I affect my family. I affect my neighborhood. I affect the co-workers that I work with. So God, I want you to bring my life into the place that I'm having effect on the world around me. Because you are the hope. You live with me. If I hide the light, nobody else will see it. So let your light shine through me, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.